From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. I enjoy studying the life of Paul. There's so much in the book of Acts, his three missionary journeys, and then the 13 books that he wrote. You just see God's hand all over him, his ministry. But it's good to see his human side as well, his problems, his faults, his failures. We see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that Paul is dealing with a thorn in the flesh, a problem, and he's crying out to God for deliverance from that thorn, and that God tells him no. Basically said, that's not my will. I'm not going to eliminate that problem from your life. You're going to have to deal with that, not just for a while, but until death. And that's never something that we like to hear. You know, there are problems in life. We'd love for God to eliminate all of those problems. But God had a purpose in that. We're going to look at God's purpose in just a moment. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, was dealing with an issue, his apostleship. You know, the other 11, plus Matthias, were readily accepted. They had lived with Christ and traveled with Christ and preached with Christ and seen his miracles and seen the resurrected Lord, even seen his ascension. But Paul was a persecutor in the church, and the church was really suspicious of Paul. And even though God used him in a great way and he started churches all across Asia and then into Europe, there was still some problems. The disciples just couldn't accept the fact that he was working with the Gentiles, and these Gentiles were truly getting saved. And here in this church, Corinth, they'd kind of listen to some of those gripes and complaints and accusations. And so Paul, in his writing, has to reaffirm that he truly does have divine apostleship, that God has chosen him to be an apostle. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So you see repeatedly he has to mention this and reaffirm the fact that God has chosen him to be apostle. Now go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It wasn't just that he saw Christ on the road to Damascus, but look at a special revelation that he mentions in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. And let me just say, if you're here tonight and you don't understand the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you don't understand the transition from revelation and how God revealed himself to man in the Old Testament and how now he reveals himself through his word. If you think you have a direct revelation from God, let me tell you something. You are wrong about that. We have God's revelation right here, written revelation. And so if you had a dream in the night, you might want to change your diet. You might want to stop eating at 11:30. If I guarantee you this, if you throw some sauce on top of wings and then drink a shake and eat some fries, you're going to have a vision in the middle of the night. I don't want to have to tell you the meaning of that dream either. The meaning is finish eating by about 7:30 or 8 so you don't need Pepto-Bismol to go to sleep, Rolaids or Tums. But this was a true vision from the Lord, a direct vision from the lips of God. A special revelation. Verse 2, he says, I know a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now, we know Paul was speaking of himself, and Paul had this special moment when he was raptured up into heaven. Now, we know that John had a special revelation, and he saw the rapture and the time of the tribulation and the millennium. He got to see all of that and then try to describe it. But Paul got raptured up into heaven, had a special revelation. Can you imagine being taken off for a moment, taken off this planet, and stepping right into heaven, seeing firsthand the Lord Jesus Christ, God, heaven in all of its splendor? What an amazing moment, face-to-face encounter in the heavenlies with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the disappointment of right back to the earth. That's exactly what happened. Now, some believe this happened when Paul was stoned and thrown outside of the city, left for dead. We don't know exactly the moment that this happened, but we know it happened. Verse 3, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up in the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He said, listen, I couldn't even tell you all the things I heard and saw. But here's what he said. With that, there came a little sense of pride, that special revelation. Now, you can imagine Paul, after what he's accomplished at this point in his ministry, all the churches that have been started, and the things that he's accomplished, and the souls that have been saved, and the young converts that have been helped, you get a big head. We get a big head, and it's not even like we've accomplished anything. Have you ever thought about the source of your pride and the reason you're proud? That's human nature. That's the way we are. But Paul had a real reason to be proud. It wasn't just his walk with God. It wasn't just the fact that he'd been raptured into heaven or had special revelation. I mean, this man had written 13 books of the New Testament. And if you start a couple churches, you might receive a few accolades. But to have planted a half a dozen, maybe even a dozen churches, if you could just say, I was the man that was responsible for discipling and training and now putting in the ministry, Timothy, that alone would make you break your arm patting yourself on the back. God noticed that and he said, to help you out, Paul, look at the reason Paul stated he had been given this thorn in the flesh, verse 7, lest I should be what? Exalted above measure. And then he ends that same verse with the same phrase, lest I should be exalted above measure. So his testimony was, yes, I am an apostle of Christ. Yes, I have seen the resurrected Lord. Yes, I ascended into heaven. Yes, I was caught up in the paradise. And God's using me. God has his hand upon me. Because of that, I've been given a thorn in the flesh. And I beg God to get rid of this, remove this thorn in the flesh. Have you ever thought about the fact that God can't use the proud? Every gift you have, every ability, every talent, whether it's your voice, or whether it's your good looks. Now, I'm not talking to any youth in here, but for those across America with the gift, the talent, the good looks. If we're not careful, some reason in life, we'll begin to grow a very large head and have an oversized opinion of ourselves, and God will help us get things into perspective. Now, here's what I always recommend, especially to the youth. What you want to do is learn, when God leads you into his school and his class of humility, you want to learn that lesson very quickly, because if you don't learn the lesson of humility, the next class, which is greater and graver, is the lesson called humiliation. And you don't want to have to go through that class. Just take the shortcut. There are very few shortcuts in life. This is a real shortcut. Just learn humility in your youth. And Paul said, God knowing that I might get the big head, he helped me out here. He gave me a thorn in the flesh, lest I should be exalted above measure. And the older I've gotten and the longer I've been in the ministry, I understand Paul's advice there in 1 Timothy, speaking of the qualifications of a pastor, that he shouldn't be a what? Novice. Lest being lifted up in pride. And youth has the tendency. Now, the older you get, the more life beats you up, the less you know, and the more you understand life is bigger than you, and there are a lot of problems you have yet to solve and might never solve. There are things you don't know and might never know. It's amazing. If you want to know about raising children, go to someone that has no one. If you want to know about marriage, go talk to those in Bible Institute that are unmarried. If you want to know how to pastor a church, go talk to a church member that's never pastored. But the older we get, the longer we live. You know what happens? our eyes begin to open up, and the theories that we held so dear to our heart and the opinions that we so highly esteemed, you know, God kind of allows life to beat us up. You know what he said about that thorn in the flesh? It buffeted. Now, some of you that don't know how to read proper English, you thought that said it buffeted him. You were thinking Chinese restaurant or Western Sizzlin' or Golden Corral. That's not what we're talking about. This buffeted. This like a boxing match. You ever been in a ring and had someone beat on your face? He said, this is what the thorn has done to me. It's just beat me up. Sometimes God allows those things to happen. And the worst thing you can do when God has put a thorn in someone's life and allowed that to beat on a man's pride is to step in and try to protect him from that beat down. Let God do his work. You just back up. You know, we feel the pity, especially if you have the gift of mercy. You want to step in there and say, wait, he's taking a beating. God say, hey, I'm the one that's giving him this lesson. Let me finish my work, and if I feel it's appropriate, I'll remove that thorn, and if it's not appropriate, I'll leave that thorn, but I can't use a man. God said, I can't use a man full of pride. I got Satan kicked out of heaven, sent Nebuchadnezzar to the field to live as a beast, crawling on all four. Got Herod eaten by worms. You don't want to live that way. And Paul said, you know, at some point, I understood in my prayers, I was begging God to remove this. I understood that this thorn in the flesh was a gift from God, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, speaking of this, we've mentioned in other studies concerning the life of Paul, his thorn in the flesh. But I want to reiterate tonight, I don't believe, you know, there are a lot of opinions. If you read books and hear preaching, people will mention his physical ailments and the possibility that he had poor eyesight or he limped. I don't believe that, possibly solely based on the previous chapter. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen. Now let me ask you this. With all that he physically suffered, do you think Paul was really concerned about some kind of physical ailment that he was dealing with? What was Paul's mindset? He had a mind that was set on heavenly things, those things which are above. And because we look at the earthly, we look at the physical, we look at what we have to deal with in this life, and if we have an achy joint, if we have a sore knee, if we have a bad back, if we have a physical problem, we consider that a thorn in the flesh. I don't think for a second that Paul considered any physical ailment. This guy, his body bore the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stripes had been laid on his back. He'd gone to prison. He'd never stopped preaching. I don't think for a second he was concerned about his physical well-being or saying, I've got poor eyesight and it's been such a thorn and I'm begging God to heal my... Folks, I just have a hard time believing that. Knowing what the Bible says about Paul, knowing what he dealt with, knowing he continually pressed on, we know this was obviously more spiritual in its attack than it was physical. Go back with me to Acts chapter 13. When Paul mentions specifically this thorn in the flesh, he says, God says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. He specifically refers to this thorn in the flesh as a messenger of Satan. Now, we know it couldn't be his wife because he wasn't married. Could be his mother-in-law because he wasn't married. Couldn't be his neighbor because he didn't have a house. So, if you look at Scripture, here's what you're going to see. Everywhere Paul went, he was chased by Pharisaical Jews, Judaizers, the keepers of the law, that were constantly trying to stir up strife wherever he preached. Look what it said, chapter 13, verse 45. When the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Look what it says, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, the chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. Look at chapter 14, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Do you see the pattern? And if you study the book of Acts, you'll see everywhere Paul goes, behind him goes a group of Jews who are constantly stirring up trouble. I personally believe this was his thorn in the flesh. There was just a group, and Satan made sure that no matter what city he preached in, what synagogue he was at, what riverside he had opened up the word of God, wherever he had gathered together some converts, it doesn't matter if that was Thessalonica or Philippi or Berea or wherever he went, there was great and grave persecution because of these unbelieving Jews who were constantly stirring up trouble. Can you imagine every time you get a group of converts together, here they come. Doesn't matter what street corner you go to, what church you preach at, what town you visit, they're always there lurking in the darkness waiting to stir up trouble and get you expelled out of the city. And I think there's a lot of time spent in his knees saying, God, you know we could have a much greater impact if I didn't have these people constantly following behind me and stirring up trouble. And it'd be easier to disciple. It'd be easier to plant the church. It'd be easier to reach a crowd of both Gentiles and Jews if I didn't have these troublemakers undermining my messages, yelling at us in the streets, getting us beaten, having us thrown into the prison. Lord, it would just simplify the preaching of the gospel. You can do it, God, with a single word, lightning from heaven, however you want to handle it. I'm good with it. And God said, no. I need you humble, Paul. I don't need you proud. I need you effective, Paul, and that can't happen if you got the big head. So he allowed Paul to live with this thorn. Now, here's what God does for us. He doesn't name the thorn. God did not specifically name Paul's thorn, and I think he did that for us. Because if you're a Christian doing anything for God, you're going to have a thorn in the flesh. And you're going to have to deal with it. And God has a purpose for that thorn. It doesn't matter if that's a health issue I've thought about over the past 10 years of my ministry. I remember years ago, I was preaching a missions conference, a very large church. And when I got done, Brother Mike Gibson was at the meeting. He said, "Preacher, you seemed extremely nervous." And I said, "No, actually, tonight I wasn't nervous." He said, "Boy, you ought to listen to that tape. You sure sounded nervous." And he went on long enough to get me concerned. And so I bought the CD and listened to myself preach for the first time. That's a horrific experience. Don't ever try that at home. It'll mess up your day. It'll mess up your week. But I noticed my voice crackling. And wouldn't you know, it went from there down to heel. And the doctors told me not to talk or preach for 6 weeks. And then next thing you know, we're going to specialists trying to figure out what in the world's wrong. And 10 years later, I'm still praying, God, would you just eliminate that problem? Past week, I preached four nights in a row, and I thank God for the advances and the way God's touched my voice. But to still go into a meeting and not even knowing if your voice is going to hold out one more night is a frustration. Thinking, Lord, if you call me to do this for life and I'm only 43, how in the world am I going to make another 20 years if you don't do something with this voice? That's bad when you have six-year-olds trying to imitate. Mom, I want to be like preacher. I want to talk like this. I got little kids want two things. They want to be bald, and they want to talk like a billy goat. One example your pastor has set for the younger generation. Now, I don't know what your thorn in the flesh is, but God, it'll help keep you humble when people refer to you as a billy goat preacher. You've got to deal with that, and whatever the thorn is in life, understand God has a purpose for this, and this thorn pushed Paul to his knees. And he prayed specifically. Look how he prayed. He said, I prayed how? For this thing, specifically. Isn't this strange? We have a problem, we have a thorn in life, The normally the majority of our time is simply spent voicing our displeasure with the thorn that God's given us. It's much easier to gripe than to pray. It's much easier to be frustrated than to go to the throne of grace asking for a miracle. Now, I've seen people, their thorn was removed. A miracle happened. God responded. I believe simply at that point, God had finished teaching the lesson. The person had passed the test. God said, I'm going to remove this thorn. Obviously, I haven't learned the lesson. Maybe I won't learn it until death. Maybe God has a special purpose. But until you accept whatever God has given you in life, you're going to live frustrated. The worst part is not just that you're going to be frustrated with life. At times, you'll be frustrated with God. And as a Christian, maybe that thorn in the flesh, maybe you're dealing with it with an illness that you've had since birth, or maybe you're dealing with a spiritual conflict, or maybe you're dealing with a child, or maybe you're dealing with a parent. I don't know what you're dealing with, but until you get to a point where you fall down on your knees and say, God, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to surrender to whatever you're trying to teach me, whatever you're trying to do in my life. I just accept it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a smile on my face. He said, for this thing, I prayed 3 times. And he said, you know what? Hey, how many ever prayed? And it's like God cut you short. If you're praying, God said, you don't need to pray for that. God cut Paul short in this matter and said, Paul, I've got a purpose here. Now, if you've ever had a thorn, it doesn't matter how small the thorn is. You can have the smallest splinter on the planet stuck in your hand. And you say, okay, I don't have tweezers or needles or any way to remove that. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to let it be. And then a day later, you can't even, at the moment, you can't even recognize where that's at or when it got in or how it got into your hand. But I'm going to ignore it and we'll be okay. And the next day, you go to pick up a pair of pliers, and suddenly you say, ow. Now you know what you do? You go find a needle. You go find tweezers. You're a man on the mission. If you can't find tweezers, at that point, you're going to get a buckskin knife. You're going to pull a Davy Crockett, amen? If you have to cut your thumb off, you're doing surgery. That splinter is coming out. You've had enough, and that's 24 hours. Now, thorn. You know what? A thorn is something that you notice every day and deal with every day. God said, I gave that to you as a gift because I have something I want to teach you. And the only way you're going to learn that lesson is if every day you're reminded of what I'm trying to teach you. He prayed. He repeated. He was fervent. Now look what it says in Romans 8. Here's what we want, and here's why we pray. Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And how did he finish that request? That it might depart from me. And God said, no. Look what it says, verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and then what does it say? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. One of the toughest lessons to learn in life is God allows us to deal with all these things. In all these things is the part of Christianity that we don't like. God save me from. God deliver me from. Wasn't that Paul's prayer? And he was a more spiritual man than we are. Have you ever prayed to be delivered from something or someone? God, would you deliver me from the hassle of that? Would you eliminate that problem from my life? And God says, no, I'm going to allow you to be in the midst of that problem and then show myself strong on your behalf. We live in a sin-cursed planet. We want to be delivered from that sin-cursed planet. Well, in order for that to happen, you've got to be raptured to heaven. You've got to be taken to glory. That's the only place and not touched by sin. But if you're on this planet, guess what? He says, you are there in the midst of problems. I'm not delivering you from every problem. I'm delivering you in every problem. What a hated preposition. Right there in. Every college student would like to be delivered from. But God says, no, you don't learn anything that way. I'll deliver you in your situation, in your problem, in your poverty, in your singleness that's lasting forever, in your frustration, in. And that's a part of Christianity we don't like. God, would you just speed up the process? Would you deliver me from some of the, our young ladies, been young ladies, single ladies for a long, long time. God, would you deliver me from singleness? And then God, loud and clear with a microphone, says, no. I'll deliver you in, but I won't deliver you from. He says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And it doesn't matter what person in the Bible whose life you study, what character in this book you look at, you observe, you're going to find out God didn't deliver any of them from, but he delivered them in their circumstance. And he said, Paul, I gave you this thorn. It is a gift. It is for your good. Look at verse 9. There is a purpose in all of this, Paul. It's for you to trust me. Because this thorn is only going to help you in two areas. Look what it says. Verse 9. He said to me, my grace is sufficient and my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what a thorn is about? Grace and strength. Now, let me ask you this. When do you learn about God's grace? When you're dealing with a thorn. You don't learn about God's grace when everything is perfect in life. You learn about God's grace in the valley, in the battle, in the fire, under pressure, in the midst of the problem. That's where you learned. Let me ask you, those of you that are at least 40 or above, when did you truly learn about God's grace? At 20? College? Does Bible college have a class on grace and God's grace? How to get it? How to live in it? Life teaches you that lesson. It's the valley. It's the thorn. It's the problem. It's the depths of the sea. It's a shipwreck. It's a marriage conflict. It's a ministry conflict. It's a life conflict. God says, here's what I'm trying to teach you with this thorn, Paul. My grace is sufficient. Now, I know that's easy to read, hard to be understood, because how many times have we heard someone preach on, my grace is sufficient. Oh, pastor, I believe that. His grace is sufficient. It's sufficient right now because you have sufficient income. You have sufficient food on the table. You have sufficient health to do whatever you want to do. You have sufficient friends to keep you happy. But what happens when all that fails and then you have to learn something about the grace of God? What about a problem so big that a gallon of chocolate ice cream won't solve it? What about a problem so big that a $5,000 bonus check won't make you smile? What about a problem so big there's no news on the planet that'll make you feel any better? That's when you find out God's grace is sufficient and that his strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, God can't teach you anything about his strength when you have enough strength for the moment to deal with it on your own. You know why the average person doesn't include God in their life? Because at the moment, I have enough strength to deal with my life, my circumstance, my job, my marriage, my ministry. I can do all this in my own strength. I can lead the five-year-olds in my own strength. I can teach in the school in my own strength. I can go soul winning in my own strength. I can work in the nursery in my own strength. I can provide for my own family, my own strength. God says, here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to allow you to have a problem severe enough where you actually learn something about dependency upon me. And the average Christian doesn't know anything about the supernatural because they function for a long time in their own strength. God said, if I don't teach you this lesson, you'll never function in my strength. You'll never understand the supernatural because you'll always confide in your ability, your knowledge, your power, your income, your strength. Here's what God told Paul. Paul, now here was a man that was devoted. Here was a man with courage. Here was a man with backbone. Here was a man that wouldn't quit. Here was a man that was up early and went to sleep late. I believe Paul, many times in his own strength, endured those beatings and took it like a man. In his own strength. God said, Paul, I need you to learn about the supernatural. Have you ever met someone just was tough, strong, gifted, able-bodied? And we say, wow. And God never does. When God sees that, he goes, uh-oh. This is going to be a tough one. Because if he's going to do my work, he's got to learn about my strength. And when you have all that ability and all that power and all those gifts and all that strength, God says, I'm going to have to give you a thorn. I'm going to have to give you a gift. I'm going to have to give you an affliction. You know what an affliction is? Something God gives you that never, ever goes away. If you had a headache this week, you didn't have a thorn in the flesh. An aspirin won't fix a thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh is not temporary back pain. You go down to the chiropractor and you got your fix because a thorn in the flesh is not going away. And if you got a mole on your ear, you got a wart on your toe, got a flat tire in your car, that's not the thorn that God is trying to tell you about. We're talking about God allowing something in your life that you will deal with until the day you die, and you wish with every breath it would just pass. Go away. God, it hinders my thoughts. It hinders my marriage. It hinders my ministry. And God says, if you only knew, without this, you wouldn't even think about me. Without this, you wouldn't spend any time on your knees. Without this, you wouldn't have any relationship with me. Without this, you would be living your life, doing your own thing, your own power, your own strength. And he said, I gave you this thorn for two reasons. Teach you about my strength and to teach you about my grace. So I'm going to let you deal with it right in the midst of all these things. Now, here's when a person knows that they've learned the lesson. Look what it says, last half, verse 9. Most gladly. Okay, there's a triumph. When someone speaks this way, they've learned to trust God with the lesson that's being taught. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory. How? In my infirmities. What's he know? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I've understood now that Christ's power comes with dealing with this thorn. And in humility of heart, in my weakness, God's being made strong. In my insufficiency, I'm living by God's grace. Most gladly. And let me ask you this. There are a few of you in here tonight that are dealing with a thorn, a real thorn. A thorn from God. Not a cold. Not a chest pain. Not a toe wart. Not an angry wife. Not an unsafe boss. Those are parts of life. I'm talking about a God-given thorn. And you've asked God about it. And you don't even understand what he's doing. Now here's what a thorn is initially. It's frustration. It's not the end of life. Just in your mind, you think there's so much more I could do without this. Now, if you have really no intention of living for God and you, whatever you accomplish, you're going to accomplish in the arm of the flesh anyways, God will never give you a thorn because you think all of life is a thorn. Allergies is a thorn. Traffic is a thorn. Your kids are a thorn. Hot summers in Austin, it's a thorn. You're just a griper. Okay? God can't use you. Satan's already got a hold of you. I'm talking a biblical thing, a gift from God. And when you're dealing with this and you come to the point of acceptance, you say, okay, God, I don't understand what or why. I do understand you're trying to teach me to rely on your strength and to operate in your grace. When you can say these words, most gladly will I then glory in my infirmities. Praise the Lord for that. Because God's doing something and I can't even see it. The supernatural is taking place and I may not even feel it. God has a purpose here. And he's going to do something supernatural through me. And when you get past the griping, you get past the frustration, you get back the sleepless nights concerned about, well, I think things would go so much better, and I think my ministry would be 100 times bigger, and I think my messages would be much more powerful, and I think I could walk in the victory if God would just remove this from my life. And God said, no, no, to the contrary, you don't understand. This is actually to your benefit. Most gladly will I glory in this, Father, because whatever you're trying to teach me, I'm determined to learn. And the gift that you gave me that looked like a big, prickly, pointy, disagreeable stick, I'll take that. I'll accept it. Because I want to operate with your grace. And I want to operate with your strength.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.